Last night I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was explaining to him that I was a little disappointed because I always like to have some kind of a story or something to open up my homily, and I didn't have one for this week. So he said to me, well, why don't you just go right into your homily? I said, okay. Then he proceeds to tell me about his theory of quantum theology. I'd like to share it with you because it really is relevant to today's readings. But before I do that, I want to give you two caveats. Number one, quantum theology is new to me. I just learned about it last night. It was taught to me by neither a quantum physicist nor a theologian. And it was taught to me in the midst of a fundraiser beef and beer. So if there are any quantum physicists out there and I miss something, I'll be in the back. We can clear it up afterwards. He said, basically, quantum theology is based on the theory of quantum physics, which suggests that there are subatomic particles called quarks, and there are two of them, and they're smaller than an atom, and these two quarks work in relationship with one another to make the atom take the form that it's meant to take. So he looked at me and he said, it's quite simple. It's all about relationship. In today's readings, it's all about relationships. In the first reading, we see that God creates us, creates humanity, to be in relationship with Him. God also creates man and woman so that we can be in relationship with one another. In the second reading, Paul tries to clarify the relationship of Adam, the first man, with Jesus Christ. He parallels their journey and suggests that both men fundamentally worked from God's will. Unfortunately, Adam failed, and Jesus redeemed that failure. And in today's gospel, we see specifically Jesus in relationship with his Father through the words of the sacred scriptures. Throughout this season of Lent, we have a tendency to focus on our sinfulness. I think that makes a great deal of sense as it relates to our relationships with one another. Because sin is that which sort of disrupts our relationships. We see that in the first reading. Adam and Eve are both tempted by the concept of being wise, of being like gods. The fact is, we are like gods. We were made in the image and likeness of God. The difference is, in the first reading, it says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. All good things. The difficulty is the wisdom that is gained, if it's used for selfish purposes, disrupts our relationship with one another. And clearly in the first reading, we could see how now the wisdom that Adam and Eve have gained in their freedom and their exercise of freedom disrupted their relationship with one another. All of a sudden, they noticed that they were naked and they needed to clothe themselves. They became ashamed. In our relationships with one another, and I know this from my practice in marriage and family counseling, it's amazing how much selfishness disrupts the relationship. To be able to speak from outside of ourselves and to look at the care and well-being of another is really what heals that. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Adam, the first man, caused the disruption in the relationship with God. And Jesus, in his humanity, restores that relationship for us. And he does it really by managing to stay selfless. Everything that Jesus does, he does for someone else. The interesting thing is, during this temptation of his, the first temptation is one in which the devil says, turn these stones into bread. A miracle in which Jesus uses throughout his ministry. He's constantly providing food, multiplying loaves, multiplying fishes. And he even uses bread in the Last Supper to remind his friends of the importance of being selfless. But in this particular case, the devil's tempting him to use bread for his own purposes, because he's hungry. Jesus manages to maintain a deep and profound relationship with his Father, and he does it through the scriptures to confound the devil's temptations. As we proceed through this Lenten season, we exercise certain disciplines. And the disciplines that we exercise aren't really designed for us. They're designed for one another. Take, for example, Ash Wednesday. I had a discussion with another friend of mine earlier in the week about how uncomfortable it is walking around with ashes on your forehead. Monsignor Carroll gave me ashes, so I had a mammoth cross on my forehead all day long. It's an uncomfortable feeling because people stare at you and they wonder, you know, what's that all about? That exercise of discipline is not for me. The exercise is for others. It's a witness to our Christian commitment. It's a witness to our recognition of our own personal sinfulness. But most importantly, it's the sign of the cross, a witness to our redemption by Jesus Christ, who manages to do all of it by staying in perfect relationship with his Father. So as we go through this practice of discipline throughout Lent, I invite you to try to remind yourselves constantly that the exercise is not for you. The exercise is for one another. We need to admonish one another. We need to support one another. Because I think that's really the way we restore our relationship, not only with one another,